Callum Wilson. And he scores it. What a day for Callum Wilson. The first hat-trick of his career. Bournemouth lead by 4-2. 6 years ago, they were in the bottom tier. And now, surely, they have their first ever top-flight win.
Hello and welcome to episode 21 of Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast, 21 today, with me, Sean Barker.
And me, Sam Davis. And as we have come out of the Premier League for a couple of weeks, I've today decided to wear my England shirt. So I'm looking forward to watching England's first international game with Sam Allardyce's brand new successor in charge. He's squeaky clean. He'll bring excitement. He'll be bringing fast-flowing football. The nation will be optimistic again. Oh, hang on a sec. It's Gareth Southgate.
Yes, it is indeed, Gareth, and thankfully not Eddie Howe, as we had been fearing last week. Anyhow, I am wearing the blue and black AFC Bournemouth away shirt from 1995, The Great Escape, Frizzell on the front. And the reason I'm wearing a retro shirt is it seems to be all the rage in the club shop, and maybe you and I and Sam and a guy called Gareth will be able to help bring some more shirts into the club shop. But I'll talk about that later on. What a tease.
You are a teaser, Sean. Well, earlier on today, I was wearing the Back of the Net t-shirt, Eddie Had a Dream. Now, we've got some more orders to ship out. Robin Latcham and James Oakley, yours are on your way. We also had a selfie from Robert Murphy, the Cherries fan. Check it out on our Twitter feed, AFCB Podcast. But if you want one, go to our shop now, afcbpodcast.com/shop.
Yeah, and we normally talk about this at the end of the show, but we thought we'd talk about it at the start this time. But we do also have the option to donate. Now, we do run this show for free, and we're getting amazing listeners. We just want to thank everybody that's been listening. We're getting over 4,000 listeners a show now. It's amazing. But it's bit more pressure now because it's like a proper show with like proper numbers of listeners, and it does take us a lot of time, and it takes us money to for the equipment and all that kind of stuff, plus just generally our time. Sam's a busy web developer and somehow fits in all this, and I do my thing. So if you do get value out of this podcast, even if you could just stick a tenner, you can go to afcbpodcast.com/ I was going to say /tenner. Maybe that's what we should do. /donate. We really would appreciate it just to help us, because we do get a bit of pressure to keep the show going, and that would really help. But anyway, enough about that. Let's tell you now what is coming up on this week's Back of the Net.
We'll be hearing from our match summariser, Mr. Dunn, for this week's Michael's Match Report, as our main man at the ground discusses Bournemouth's 2-2 draw with the Hornets on Saturday.
Yep, that's right, and we'll then be hearing your reaction and the media reaction before Sam and I have our say on the game. Should we have clinched all 3 points, or was a draw a fair result?
Yeah, and then we'll have the online opinions of the game, as well as conveying the relief of the Cherries Twitterati from Thursday as Eddie Howe reaffirmed his commitment to AFC Bournemouth.
Then I will be bringing you the latest club news as we check out the up-to-the-minute goings-on at the Vitality Stadium.
Plus, we'll be discussing Cherries' upcoming trip to Hull, and Sean, there's going to be a new competition. Well, we're going to be talking about something anyway. And also, really interested in hearing this thing about the shirts.
Yep, can't say too much at this stage, but it's going to be, in the words of Cherry Bear, brilliant! Is that what he says? But first, on Back of the Net, it is time to once again see Sam squirm and me snigger, mainly at Sam, as Rob Frank brings our knowledge test to the airways as he asks, do you remember?
Do you remember? was born on the 18th of June 1975 in Wimbledon, South London. He started his career at Crystal Palace, but after not making too many first team appearances, came to us initially on loan in 1995. He played 107 games after signing in 1996, when he left for Huddersfield at the transfer deadline date in March 1999, many Bournemouth fans felt our playoff hopes had gone. He played left-back for us. He was a set-piece expert and played at Wembley against Grimsby.
Okay, thanks once again to Rob Frank, now firmly established as the Do You Remember host with the most. And Sammy Davis, I reckon even you might get this one.
Yeah, by the way, I just want to say, I actually prefer Rob being the host more than you, Sean, but enough about that. Anyway, yes.
Awkward.
I think I do. First... three clues, I must admit, didn't really do anything for me. The date of birth, not so much. Crystal Palace, Bournemouth on loan, then he played 107 games. The bit when he left for Huddersfield rang a bell, but then the fact that he played left back and played at Wembley pretty much sealed it for me. So, Sean, I think I've got it.
Oh, well, you at home or in the car or wherever you are listening, are you as clever as Sammy D? I really hope so.
Okay, so in a moment on Back of the Net, we'll be hearing your views on our match this weekend against the Hornets. But first, let's get the lowdown on the 2-2 draw at Vicarage Road from our expert summariser, Michael Dunn.
Our resurgent Cherries didn't quite manage to draw the Hornets' sting on Saturday, as it was honours even for the fifth time in the past six meetings between the two sides. After the impressive victory over Everton, Eddie saw no reason to change the starting 11, although Josh King returned to the squad in place of Lise Mousset after recovering from a rapidly healed hamstring injury. Arthur Boritz, Steve Cook and Adam Smith were all called upon to prevent efforts from Troy Deeney and Odion Ighalo opening the scoring before we slowly began to get a foothold in the game. Callum Wilson, looking sharper by the week, was felled by Sebastian Prodil, and from the resulting free kick, Junior Stanislas whipped in a cross shot which forced a decent save from Aurelio Gomez. Bournemouth took the lead on 31 minutes when Troy Deeney sent an advancing Adam Smith tumbling, and Junior Stanislas knew better than to wait for Dean's whistle, as he pounced on the loose ball to cross to the near post. Callum Wilson, for whom headed goals were at best an annual event, got in front of Prodil to head under Gomez, who, we can only assume, was dazzled by the bright Hertfordshire sunlight. Header goals from Wilson are, however, a regular event in comparison with strikes of any kind from Andrew Sermon, and when our goal machine beat two men inside the Watford box and pulled the ball back to the sensible one 18 yards out, it was no surprise to see the ball clear the crossbar at the rookery end. In between times, Arthur Boric was called upon to keep us in it, pushing Norden Amrabat's effort wide to his left before jumping to his feet again to deny the Dutchman from the follow-up. Watford had the better of the opening exchanges after the break, and on 50 minutes drew level. Amrabat rolled Charlie Daniels to find space at the byline, and Deeney, who had stolen half a yard in the penalty box, didn't need any more to fire home before being floored by Andrew Sermon for his trouble. After Boritz had again denied Deeney from a header with an outstanding save, Eddie decided it was time to play his ace and replace Jordan Ibe with a fit again Josh King. He put two Watford midfielders out of the game before heading straight for goal. So surprised was Jack Wilshere at the speed of King's direct running that he only just managed to get out of the way, but the same could not be said of the cherry-phobic Eunice Cabal, whose midriff helped guide King's shot past Gomez just 44 seconds after he'd stepped onto the pitch. With the travelling faithful delighting in regaining the lead and having finally found a player in our squad with the correct amount of syllables and goals to suit the Will Griggs song, Watford wasted no time in restoring parity. Adam Smith conceded a free kick deep in the Cherries' half, with Holobas whipped into the box, where a leaden-footed defence watched Isaac Success head home a goal, which had headline writers and pumptastic podcasters everywhere reaching for their notepads. Bournemouth had the better of the closing stages, with Aurelio Gomez's goal leading a charmed life. Jack Wilshere, who had already hit the bottom of the post earlier in the half, spurned a gilt-edged opportunity to win the game when hitting the same spot, the same post from Adam Smith's pass with the goal gaping. Smith was then fouled outside the penalty area, and Junior Stanislas's free kick had Gomez beaten, but once again, the woodwork came to Watford's rescue. In uncharacteristically public fashion, Eddie Howe took out his frustration at not claiming the 3 points on the furniture in the Vicarage Road Media Centre, but I'm sure that given time to reflect, he will conclude that an away point that makes it just one defeat in the past 5 Premier League games is a decent return going into the so-called international break.
Thank you very much, Mr. Michael Dunn, for this week's match report. And hey, Sean, I'm starting to think that he's a good luck charm. We haven't lost since he's been doing his match summaries. There's some thought. But anyway, what about a tune to accompany the fan thoughts? Well, we've been asking you on Twitter for some app songs. Steve Butler said, Journey, Don't Stop Believing, after hitting the woodwork 3 times. Yep, know where you're coming from there, Steve. Cockbeard on Twitter said, Oh No by Everything Ever just came on, and I was certainly thinking that more than twice on Saturday. Gary Wright, Tell Me When the Whistle Blows by Elton John for Jack Wilshere, as he hasn't played a full 90 minutes in over 2 years. Like that one. Red and Black Exile said, It has to be an Elton John song. What about, I guess that's why they call it the blues. Yet again, very apt, but we did do that one a couple of weeks ago. Kevin Anderson, It's a shame that Archbishop Desmond Tutu's never had a successful recording career. Agreed. We could have been playing a bit of that. Steve Wright said, After a topsy-turvy game, my song choice for Cherries fans following the team, You're My First, My Last, My Everything by Barry White. What a great tune that is. However, the winner this week, to sum up the game itself, was from AFC B Dan on Twitter. And this was cracking. And when you hear the chorus, yes, it's very apt. It's the Future Heads with Yes, No. You'll see where we're going with this.
Yeah, it was a brilliant game, it really was. A fair result for both sides, I thought. I mean, they both tried to get the winner towards the end of the game. Watford had their moments, so did Bournemouth. But it was a brilliant game of football in the second half. Took their goals well, some good substitutions from Eddie Howe and Josh King come on. First touch, more or less. Gets a deflected shot, goes into the back of the net. Then you're thinking Bournemouth are going to go on and win the game. But Watford kept going. Brilliant header from Success. Brilliant ball in from Holobas. And 2-2, but they come back and got a good point.
Hi, my name's Yorick. I'm from New Zealand, currently living in London, and over the weekend managed to go to my first Premier League game. First of all, I just want to give a shout out to Sean Bucker, who managed to get me a ticket, and what a game it was. I was stoked to go on Bournemouth to be my first Premier League game, and I think definitely I'll be supporting Bournemouth in the future. So all I need now is a scarf and a shirt for the next game, and I'm sorted. Up Bournemouth.
Oh, remind me never to watch a Bournemouth game on a stream again. 1-1. Didn't realise my stream was a couple of minutes behind. Looked online, saw that we were 2-1 up, so I had the pleasure of watching 2 minutes, knowing that we were going to score. That was a weird feeling. Great goal by King coming on to score that goal. Thought we played really well. Hit the ball 3 times. Wilshere should have buried his last chance. Still a little bit worried about areas of defence. But I think Eddie, obviously, he's putting the players that he sees at the training ground into the first team. So we'll trust how he goes with that for now. Wilshere looks back to his best. And Hull in a couple of weeks looks good. I've got to get my stream sorted out because 2-1 from that ecstasy. I refreshed the stream. And when it refreshed, get a tweet to say they've equalised for 2-2. It's gutted. Some emotional game watching that. But two good teams, I think they'd be safe this year, both going for the win, and both look like they'd be alright, so roll on a couple of weeks in Hull.
What's going on, guys? On the match review of Watford 2, Bournemouth 2, Josh King did well, Sam Wilson, everyone did well, but I think again, man of the match goes to Artur Boric, pulling off some world-class key saves to keep us in the game. He has been the massive impact and the game changer this season. Can't wait to see what he brings to the future for Bournemouth. I don't know how long he's going to be at this club for. There was a little bit of suspicion, maybe should we keep him in goal at the end of last season, but he's come back, shown a lot of ambition, bringing more and more to the table. Great game.
Hello boys, it's John from the Rookery Inn podcast. Just a quick message for you guys, what we thought about Saturday's game. What a fantastic game of football. Maybe we didn't quite feel that we were watching it, but looking back at it, it was just superb. You know, two teams in the second year of the Premier League playing great football. We've got to say in the end, it was 2-2 was a fair result. Maybe the first half was ours, maybe the second half was yours. 2-2 over was great. We were coming off the back of a loss at Burnley, so maybe we did want a little bit more. But it was a great game of football and just proves that, you know, both these teams shouldn't, fingers crossed, you cross your fingers as well, by the way, stay up in the Premier League for another year, because there's certainly worse teams out there than us. Question is, can we keep it going for a whole season and stay out of trouble with injuries? Good luck, have fun, and we'll see you at your place later in the season. Maybe 3-3 next time.
So thank you very much to everyone who took part in the fan thoughts for the Watford game. You first heard from Ray Parler, but you also heard from Yorick, Steve Wright, YouTuber Matt, and also big shout to John Mooney. The Watford podcast is called From the Rookery End, and we advise you check it out. I've been listening to a couple of episodes recently, and it's a really good listen. But firstly, Sean, you know Yorick, is that right?
Yeah, so Yorick and Josh are a couple of mates of mine from down here in Wellington, New Zealand, and we play for Island Bay United together, which is one of our local sides. Big up to Nick Goodall, who's a listener of this podcast, who also plays for Island Bay. And when I was back last season, he insisted I came back with a Bournemouth shirt for him with France's number 2, so he proudly wears that. And so I've slowly been introducing AFC Bournemouth to everyone in New Zealand. And yeah, Yorick and Josh were in London and wanted a ticket, and Sam Summers luckily had a couple going last minute, so these Kiwi boys got to go in the about third or fourth row and had a great old time. And I was there watching at home, and when King scored, I could see Josh and Yorick going mad in the stand. So good to see another couple of Bournemouth fans there. Just started off life well, a good time, I guess, for us now. And also Steve Wright there, bringing us his fan thoughts live from the inside of his washing machine, by the sounds of it. So maybe that's a new feature, is where can you bring your fan thoughts?
I wonder if he had any hot points. Sorry, I've started early. You laughed. By the way... God, that's like a 5-second laugh. That must be a record for me. By the way, Sam Summers, did he actually go to the game, or could he not go, by the way? Do you know?
No, he did go. He had some mates, and one of his mates let him down last minute. There was a whole bunch of them. So, yeah, Yorick Josh got to hang out and have a beer and do the proper Bournemouth experience. Apparently, there was a bit of action, I was told, on Twitter. I don't know what that means, and maybe we don't want to know.
Good stuff. So in terms of the lineup at the game, Sean, were you happy with the 11 that started? Of course, it was the same 11 that started against Everton.
Yeah, made perfect sense, really. And Joshua King obviously coming back in for Lys Mousset. Yeah, as Michael said, after his very quick recovery from a hamstring strain. Interesting that Watford changed their formation for this game. They've been playing a lot with three at the back, and they pretty much got destroyed by Burnley last week, especially out wide on the wings. And knowing how much we can hurt teams out in those positions, they did change to a back four. Although, having said that, Wilson was having an absolute field day with those balls in the channel, wasn't he?
Yeah, he really was. But it did really feel that like Watford were in control of the game, though, didn't you think, early on? I mean, I know we got a little bit of joy with Wilson getting a bit of space, but apart from that, it did feel like Watford were in control, but all of a sudden the momentum just slowly started to shift.
Yeah, it really did. They came out pretty fast because they were really slow against Burnley, and that really set them up for that defeat, I think, having watched that game, was Burnley just seized on the opportunity. Whereas, yeah, Watford obviously came out, ears were ringing from their coach. Well, not their coach, from the interpreter next to the coach, because he doesn't speak a word of English yet, I don't think. Still just in his native Italian. But yeah, we just... There was a couple of moments they were putting balls in the box like we expected they would do, and we had to deal with a lot. And actually, I think overall we dealt with them pretty well. And then, as you say, we just, the tables just started to turn and we just started getting a bit more of the ball. And what I liked was we were slowly progressing up the field. So we would, it looks like we're just making a lot of what you could almost class as needless passes because they're going 10, 15 yards. But what we're actually doing is slowly progressing. And a really great example of that is if you watch the move that led up to our opening goal, there ended up being something like 18 passes in that move that started with going back to Boric from, I think it was Ibe. There were some 1-2s from the defence. And then all of a sudden, we've kind of passed from one side to the other and then back again, but we're 20 yards further up the field. And I'm really liking how we're just slowly building and progressing ourselves up. And then, of course, it gets out wide. Smithy has a bit of a clattering. And then Stanislas, back to the glory days of Johnny Bailey and doing the turnaround as he just does this little, goes to go one way, rolls all the way back round, beats two defenders. Good early cross. Now, it was deflected up into the air, but I think even if it wasn't, Wilson had made such a great run, I think he still would have been the first one to it and probably then would be taking it with his foot. As it was, great downward header, nothing keeper can do. And yeah, it felt real good, didn't it, to get that goal?
It did, but you say nothing the keeper could have done. Is that true?
You're 6-7 yards out, it's coming in at pace, and he's put it right by his toes. Like, in terms of getting down quickly, that is the hardest place to get down quickly. Now, because, you know, if it was slightly more out to the side, well, you're kind of diving at more of an angle. When it's right at the toes, it's so tough within a split second to get down and make that save.
I mean, when you're watching the game, by the way, Sean, earlier on, the referee, don't you? I think it was Mike Dean, wasn't it? Don't you feel that he was brandishing a hell of a lot of yellow cards? I mean, I was worried at some point someone's going to get sent off here. It seemed to be every couple of minutes.
I know, it was huge, wasn't it? And it was, yeah, it did make you a bit nervous because, well, it made you nervous, but it also made you think, oh, well, you know, like Prodal got booked pretty early on for that handball down wide from Wilson, which, if you were watching on Match of the Day, did you think their highlights, they spent a ridiculous amount of time on that handball decision in relation to the whole game? But anyway, that's another point. There was a lot of yellow cards and you were thinking, this is a game that potentially someone could get sent off. But actually, I'm glad no one did because it was a great game.
Yeah, no, it really was. Jack Wilshere got booked after 20 minutes, I thought. I don't know, I had a funny feeling about that. But anyway, half-time, and it was 1-0. And then the second half, well, it didn't exactly start great, did it? Now, I was watching this and I just... Andrew Sermon, I think, has got... his positioning was pretty bad. He was kind of a little bit asleep, I think, because Watford had a throw and Sermon was standing in a position where he's just completely ineffective. The thrower could just like throw it over him and he should have been like 5 yards back. But as it was, it was Amrabat, wasn't it, on the right hand side, who managed to turn Charlie Daniels fairly easily. There's a few people criticising Daniels for that. But then he managed to pull it back and Troy Deeney finished well and then clattered in, maybe justifiably, to Andrew Sermon after that horrible error that I thought Andrew Sermon made. And yeah, it was 1-1. What were your thoughts on that goal?
Yeah, it was a poor goal. Daniels just... Yeah, it was a couple of times, wasn't it, when he just got turned too easy. Now, a lot of the time, I think we need to give credit for Ibe. I think Ibe's defensive displays have been getting stronger and stronger, and he's I think he's been actually doing well tracking back. On this occasion, he wasn't there. Yeah, far too easy to get turned. And then the other issue I had was that you've got Cook, who was picking up Deeney. He has to go and close the ball down, which he did. But Francis had two decisions to make. He either did what he did, which was drop back onto the goal line, or he could have come forward onto Deeney. For me, and it's easy to say now, but he made the wrong decision. He's dropped back onto the line where, you know, it's going to be tough to keep the ball out unless you stick your hand out. Whereas if he'd have gone to Deeney, he would have been able to put a challenge in and potentially the goal would have been not happened. So that was the only thing that I was a bit disappointed about.
Yeah. For you, yeah, Charlie Downs. For me, Andrew Sermon had a little bit to do with it. But earlier on in the game, just winding it back, sorry, to the first half, Sermon, not made for shooting, is he?
It was a great run from Wilson out wide, cut in. I thought he was going to go down. And Mike Dean loves giving a penalty, right? He's given a lot of penalties this season. Watford hate conceding penalties, especially when we get a penalty. And there was a little moment where I thought, oh, no, they're hating Wilson because he scored. He's going to go down. We're going to get another pen. He didn't. He lays it back to Sermon. And it looked bad in real time. And then on the TV, they showed the replay from behind where he's as we used to call Toblerone toe, as it's come off his Toblerone boot on the side, miles over and wide. And the other thing that happened in the first half, which, you know, you've glossed over there, Sammy, was Boric's great save. He made that good double save. And the thing that impressed me most about that was the speed that he gets back up on his feet. Like, that's what they train all week to do. He makes the save and then it's a push, accelerated back up. And as a good example of goalkeepers versus outfield players, this is a bit of goalkeeper union talk. You watch Charlie Daniels, who makes the slide tackle for the first shot on the ground. He's not getting up. I don't even know if he makes an effort to get up. But in the time it took, Daniels has done a slide. Before he's up on his feet, Boric has made a save, gone to ground, got up and made another save.
Yeah, no, that was very good. Well, so Eddie Howe is sometimes criticised for making substitutes too late or maybe bringing on the wrong player. 62 minutes, Joshua King replaces Jordan Ibe. 62 minutes, Joshua King puts Bournemouth 2-1 in front. Inspired, Sean, eh?
It was a great substitution, obviously, again, in hindsight. And it was a good time because, you know, it was one of those games that was real back and forward, wasn't it? And a few minutes before, just after the goal, actually, Wilshere had the chance where he's just skipped past a couple of players and then we're thinking he's put it in bottom corner and it's just skipped off the side of the post. It was a great effort. But that was kind of a sign of there's going to be more chances. And then King comes on. It was pretty much his first touch, wasn't it? He's shown great strength, great strong running. He just looks so full of confidence. And all right, there was a deflection, but still, just great. Joshua King, what a goal scorer.
Yeah, really good. But unfortunately, and the puns will reflect this, within 3 minutes, Watford equalised. It was such a topsy-turvy game. It was Isaac Success who headed in, assisted by Jose Holobas. It was a cross after a free kick, which was conceded by Adam Smith, who incidentally, I think, had a great game as the second half progressed. But yeah, to all... it's a funny goal, really, because, you know, Boric didn't move, but was it just a case of it was such a good header? Or, I mean, what happened? Talk me through it.
Yeah, well, it's a great delivery. It's kind of whipped in. And funny enough, the Do You Remember this week, you know, talks about a certain left back for Bournemouth who used to put in exceptional free kicks into the box. And all right, this is on the opposite side to this player in terms of where he would bend them in. But still, great delivery in. And then Success, he's getting picked up by Sermon. He does a little bump, as they're like a little booty bump, as you'd call if you're in the discotheque, just before he gets up to head it. But it's just enough to give him a yard or two away from Sermon. King's in a position, I guess, is like a zonal position. But again, he's not close enough to Success and he's not close enough to the guy behind. So he kind of puts a lame leg up. Nothing Boric can do. And as Michael said, the goal goes in and puntastic podcasters were having a field day.
Yeah, we'll be going over them a bit later on. But Bournemouth had chances, didn't they? And Adam Smith, as I say, he was involved later on where he won a free kick. We'll talk about Stanislas later. But there was this marauding run where he seemed to have acres on the right-hand side. And then he put it right across the box and it met Jack Wilshere at the far post. When I saw that, I thought, this is it, 3-2. And off the outside of the post. And, well, I don't think any of us could have believed it.
I know, it was. It came across, and you just thought, this is it. You know, it's an open goal. Here comes his goal. He's not been picked up. And, it was... It was one of those where it comes across, and I bet Jack's still probably waking up in the night thinking about it. It was one of those where it's so easy to score it that in your head you're thinking, I need to keep this down and keep it on target because this has to be a goal. You know, if you've played up front, you kind of have those moments in games when you do get those few moments before the shot to process what's about to happen. And that totally was one of those where it's like, well, this is a goal. Ah, I need to do everything right. And in the end, it kind of came off his bottom of his boot a little bit, didn't it? And I was gutted for him because I think he deserved the goal because he'd played really well, actually. Again, good minutes under his belt. But it was one of those games where you thought, there's going to be more chances. And then, yeah, Stanislas has that great free kick, eh? That was, what, an inch or two from hitting the back of the net. But it was one of those games where during it, it was actually pretty nerve-wracking to watch, wasn't it? And it was, you're pretty edgy because you never felt confident that it was all over. You know, even when we were ahead or when we got back or when they scored, you didn't really think, oh, God, we're going to lose this now 4-2. You thought, oh, either team could snatch it. And once the final whistle went, you actually had a moment to reflect and go, do you know what? That was a really enjoyable game of football after the final whistle.
Yeah, it's really weird, actually, because listening to the From the Rookery podcast, they were agreeing and saying exactly the same thing. Like, you know, rivalries aside or whatever, it was a really good game of football. Eddie Howe seemed to enjoy it, but one thing he didn't enjoy was his post-match conference, Sean.
Yeah, so there's a great video going the rounds on social media where he came into the press room, sits on the chair, ready to start, and then the chair collapsed. And there was a little comment from Eddie of, oh, I must have put on weight. So, yeah, that was a nice little moment.
And if you listen closely, it sounds like he swears. But anyway, surely to goodness, Eddie Howe does not swear. But you might be swearing after some of these, Sean, because some of them are awful. It's time for the puns. Oh, yes. And we've had a few. Let's see. Well, you had your own one, Sean, that you decided to put out. King denied winner's crown thanks to Watford's success.
Oh, that's great. That's genius. Who was that? Who'd submit? Oh, that was my... Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So we had Ross Devonport who tweeted, look at those posts, look how they shined for you. Watford Cherries play far from cold, but feel all yellow after draw.
Oh, wow. There's some guy who listens to Coldplay.
Yeah, like I say, I think it would have been good if we were playing Fulham and Chris Martin was playing, then you could have seen the connection. A few people had rewrites. Paul Kenwood came in with a pun on October the 1st, but then only today. So this is 3 days of thought.
Yeah, but this was a great one. This one is my pick. I love this one.
So here we go. King Wilson valiantly attacked the Hornets, but they were denied success as they were stung.
Awful delivery. I'm sorry, Paul. The delivery got ruined there.
Sorry, I'm not exactly the best there. Steve Wright, Jack in the Box, fails to keep the Cherries buzzing. He rewrites it. Success proves a sting in the tail for the Cherries as Jack in the Box fails to pop up with the winner. There you go, Steve Wright. There's your two mentions. He just tweeted us just now saying, oh, it's the highlight of my week getting mentioned on Back of the Net. So Steve Wright, there's a third for you. Gary on Twitter, Cherry stung by Hornets late equaliser. Robert Murphy, Watford woodwork woes deny Cherry success. And Steve Phillips comes up with a curious one. He says, in a Scottish accent. Why? But anyway, after hitting the woodwork three times, I didn't know how the Cherries get the success they deserved. I see what you've done there. It's, you know, like the other one, but what's with the Scottish accent, eh?
Yeah, well, good work and good effort and loving all the rewrites. People really thinking hard about it. Calling in sick from work. Can't go in today. I'm just not 100% happy with it. So well done. Keep them coming. Now, we've heard from the media moguls. We've heard from Michael and from Sam and myself on Saturday's game at Vicarage Road. So I suppose it's time for me to allow limber up and do some stretches. Here we go. Before I get into my news booth. But Sam, before I begin, what did the fans say online about the game?
Well, opinion was mixed, to say the least, Sean, especially over on Twitter, where I'm now going to delve in and scroll back through some of the comments. So, Alex Deutsch said, fair result. Either side could have won it. Very good point away from home. Mike Brannan, For all the Twitter bluster and bravado, AFCB and Watford are two very evenly matched teams. Very entertaining game yesterday. Tom Latcham said, Watford fans claiming AFCB manipulated the ref. Sunday Times say Watford deserved their bookings. Who'd have thought it? He went on to say, we're a better side than Watford, but our defence continues to let us down. How does Howe not see this? Robbie Sargent said, should have won that against a very limited Watford side. Unsurprisingly, poor defending let us down. Who'd have thought? Ryan Grist said, Jack Wilshere was superb against Watford and very unlucky not to score, making such an impact in our midfield. Can't believe some are criticising him. And Andy Tanner said, great day out in Watford. Shame about not getting the 3 points, but we march on. So those were some opinions from the fans, but what did Eddie think? Well, he was said to be disappointed with the draw and seemed somewhat downbeat on Match of the Day. Now, that attitude of being disappointed by dropping points is probably one of the reasons why so many fans on Twitter were last week touting him for the England job. And as you'll have heard on last week's podcast, we were pretty much bricking it. But we're pleased to hear by Thursday morning that our main man had distanced himself from the job. Chris Temple on Twitter said, no beating about the bush from Eddie Howe this morning. Keen for the England stories to go away. Not interested. UTC in all departments. What I like most about Howe's reply to the England job was his commitment to the players he's just signed. Man of his word. And Alex Crook said, Eddie Howe appears to rule himself out of the England job and says he is committed. AFCB Rob said, I know we all know it, but it has to be said. Eddie Howe is a class act. Long may he remain a cherry. And Justin Time said to Stan Collymore, I would agree this is rock bottom for our national team. No other manager excites me but Eddie Howe. You see, his name is still being touted even after he himself distanced himself. But what if Eddie Howe was England manager? Would he have made the same mistake as picking Glenn Johnson in the latest squad as what Gareth Southgate did? That's not me calling it a mistake, by the way. That's just the voice of Twitter speaking. Now, as it happened, Glenn Johnson was injured anyway. But it did bring up some renewed calls for Adam Smith to be involved in the England setup. Dave Bodymore said, Michael Keane had started the season well, but I feel AFCB's Adam Smith should have been next in at right back in line. James Stopford, Adam Smith and Troy Deeney not getting picked for the England squad just because of the clubs they play for? What a joke. Nick Cooper, how is Glenn Johnson in the England squad over Adam Smith? English national team is a joke. Now, another player that's been touted for England call-up is Mr. Harry Arter. Now, I know you're probably thinking, Harry Arter, but he plays for the Republic of Ireland. But alas, in the words of Alan Partridge, there's more to Ireland than this. As the marauding midfielder has not played a competitive game for Ireland, so there's still a chance he can feature for the Three Lions. And the Bournemouth fans have had their conspiracy hats on recently, as our number 8 has been omitted from the squad due to a hamstring injury. The Echo said, Harry Arter's due to undergo a scan to discover if the problem he sustained at Watford will condemn him to a spell on the sidelines. Arter went to ground clutching the muscle during the first half of his side's 2-2 draw at Vicarage Road on Saturday. Ben Dinnery on Twitter said, Harry is waiting on the scan results. Fingers crossed it won't be anything serious. It was very sore, but I was able to get through the game. That was from the man himself. Adrian on Twitter said, this smells like he's keeping the door open for the In England cap. Sam Summers, talk of Harry playing for England is interesting. While I'm English and all for it, part of me doesn't want them to ruin him much. Yeah, fair play. And Chris AFCB said, methinks some of Arter's injuries conveniently coincide with Ireland's competitive games. Good for AFCB, and it keeps the England option open. And here's what Jeff Stelling and Paul Merson had to say.
And is there the remotest chance that Harry Arter could be in it? And if not, why not?
Well, exactly. Exactly. Why not? He gets on the ball, he plays, he's a good footballer, a very, very good footballer. He's loads of energy. Something's got to change with this England squad. What's the point in just picking the same team? If you go and pick the same players, me and you might as well go and do it.
Yeah.
We might as well. We're playing Mortar. Give these players a chance.
Jack Wilshere said Harry Arter's right up there with any of the midfielders he's played with. Well, he's played with a few,
hasn't
he?
He's played with a few, and I mean, he's played with some top draw ones. So, you know,
It's the problem of where these players play, and it is, Jeffrey. It is, you know, they're playing at Bournemouth and Watford like Troy Deeney, and play, you know, will they get picked for England and playing with them teams, which for me is unfair.
Now, just finishing up with the AFC Bournemouth-related stories, and it seems as the Cherries are looking to improve their media output as a digital editor vacancy has opened up at the club. Well, that's an interesting position. I wonder what that entails, because I do media-type stuff. Proficiency in Adobe Premiere? Check. After Effects? Check. Photoshop? Yep. Comfortable with Windows and Mac? Oh my god. Ability to work and operate a range of camera equipment? Check. Oh, just imagine. Work at AFC Bournemouth, such a dream. But then I wouldn't really be able to do the podcast, would I? Might be a conflict of interest somewhat. No, that's it. I'm going for it. I'm putting my application in. And it's gone. Oh man, what a job that would be. If I get it, I'll be professional all the way to the end of my back of the net podcast career. I'll be loyal and disciplined. Hello? Oh, AFC Bournemouth. Huh? I've got the job. Amazing! I'll be over in a bit.
AFC B Club News.
Now, not how, for England. Following on from last week's sacking of England manager Sam Allardyce, talk turned immediately to whether Eddie Howe could become the next manager of the Three Lions. We heard your fan thoughts on this matter on last week's show, and our very own Sammy Davis even appeared on Wave 105 FM as an expert on the issue to give his thoughts. However, it was the words of Eddie Howe that we really wanted to hear, and so it was heartening as an AFC Bournemouth fan to hear him tell the media the following. I'm absolutely committed here. I love the job. I've got a lot more work to do here first. I've said in many interviews that I think the England job is the ultimate, but I've signed players here very recently and pledged a future to them over how the season is going to unfold, and it's all hypothetical, of course. I couldn't turn my back on this club and the people that employ me. The loyalty they have shown me, I need to show in return. I'm not interested in the job now. Who knows what will happen in the future? You can never predict football. Well, hopefully, we all predict a very long and successful career here at AFC Bournemouth before he decides to leave us. There's a new guy marshalling the communications. With Matt Ritchie moving north to Newcastle, it was only fair that we got someone in return. And so AFC Bournemouth have pounced to secure a signing of their own from the Toon, with Anthony Marshall joining as head of media and communications. He will look to reignite the club's comms after a dip in form following the departure of Max Fitzgerald and Kelly Summers, who had done a lot of great work to improve this area of the club as he starts his new role this week. We had a message from Anthony a couple of weeks ago to say he was on holiday and preparing for his new position by listening to the back catalogue of Back of the Net. So expect to see lots of official club news featuring tremendous puns and plenty of references to Steve Jones. Harry might not be on the midnight train to Georgia. Harry Arter could miss travelling with the Republic of Ireland squad for their World Cup qualifier versus Georgia and Moldova as he undergoes a scan to assess the damage done to his hamstring in the game last weekend versus Watford. Arter suffered the injury during the first half at Vicarage Road, but went on to complete the 90 minutes and he told the Daily Echo, "It was a little bit sore, I'll probably have a scan on it on Monday, so fingers crossed it won't be anything too serious. It's an honour to represent your country. I always look forward to it, whether it's a friendly or a qualifier." Some would say players look forward to it more than fans do, whereas you now look at international breaks and think, ugh, when's it over?
Take Your Tea, B Club News.
Okay, Sean, don't worry, don't worry. I've not left you yet.
Yeah, you'll never leave me.
All right, well, okay, you swung me around with that £1,000 a show contract. How's about that? Anyway, I'm loving the puns there, Sean. Now, not how, for England. Very good. Also, there's a new guy marshalling the communications.
Yeah, if I'd have had a bit more time, I would have worked something about an ant, because it's Ant Anthony, but time was precious, more precious than a decent pun, it seems.
Yeah, and also, Harry might not be on the midnight train to Georgia.
Midnight train to Georgia. Yeah, a bit of Gladys Knight and the Pips for you pop pickers.
Well, Sean, you know, we do this show and I'm here in beautiful Poole. It's getting colder now and you're there and it's getting warmer in Wellington. You look as though you're sweating there, but I'm loving that blue and black Frizzell away shirt. That probably is one of my favourite kits. And you love a retro shirt, don't you?
I do, and the club shop have started producing retro shirts, so at the moment you can buy some classics. There's the 81-82, which is the Reg Hines Toyota. There's the Cooper's Beer 85-86. They've now got in stock the Nolan 88-89, plus they've got the classic tracksuit jacket that Harry Redknapp was wearing when we beat Man United in 83-84. But we've been chatting to Gareth Davies, who is one of the writers within the programme, and he's also the club's replica shirt expert. And basically, we want some more retro shirts. Now, Gareth has gone to the club and spoken to Barry at the club shop, and he's also been chatting to the new guy marshalling the communications, Anthony. And what we are going to be setting up over the next week or so is an online poll to try and pick the next retro shirt that the club can produce. So we're going to be working with Gareth. There'll be a poll on the Back of the Net website. There's going to be around 10 shirts to choose from. So if you've got an idea, maybe tweet or Facebook message us an idea. But once the poll is set up, you'll be able to go on, register your pick for the best shirt that you want to have chosen, and then the top three were going to be given to Barry at the club shop. Now, no promises the club are going to go ahead and print them, but the club are open to listen, and he's going to be taking the poll results to the commercial department, and so we might actually get a say in the next retro shirt, which is pretty exciting. What about that, Sam?
Oh, it's going to be brilliant. Yeah, so make sure you keep up to date with everything that we're doing on Facebook and Twitter, because what we're going to be doing is giving you a heads up via social media as to when we get that opinion poll on our website. And if you need to know our address, it's afcbpodcast.com.
Yep, and on the next show, we're going to be speaking to Gareth to officially launch the poll. So Gareth's going to be on, talk a bit about the shirts and about the process. And you know how, like in the presidential elections over in the States, you've got the current president can basically say who he wants to be the next president. Well, I'm going to call it early as one of the, you know, people setting up the poll. I want to see that purple away shirt. I really want to see that purple away shirt. Or the other option I reckon would be really awesome would be the classic 70s green and black away shirt, which I never got to see in the flesh, but I've seen it on TV. Do you remember that Ted McDougall goal, 1972, that diving header against Villa? Oh, what a finish and what a shirt.
Yeah, no, it really was. And funny you should mention Ted McDougall, Sean, because, well, very soon, I'm hopefully going to be getting a chance to meet and interview the club legend in a couple of weeks. That's right, the Ted McDougall stand is named after him. Of course, it's Ted McDougall. We'll be talking about his new book, amongst many other things about his Bournemouth career. But Mr. Barker, being king of the puns, you're all over the book title, aren't you?
I am loving the book title. So the book is called McDougall, the Ted McDougall story. It's written by Neil Veitch, who's the club secretary, and Ted McDougall, and it's published by Pitch Publishing. Now, the guys at Pitch Publishing have kindly given us some copies of the book to give away in a few weeks' time. So we're going to tie that in with the interview that Sam's going to carry out with the man himself, Ted McDougall. So thanks to Pitch Publishing. Stay tuned for that because we are going to be giving away some books and we're also going to be hearing that interview. But yeah, it sounds like a great read and I'm looking forward to getting stuck into it. But Sam, the giveaways don't end there. Oh, because next week, well, not next week, sorry, I got the international break. So after the whole game, so a couple of weeks' time, I'm going to be doing a feature all about FIFA 17. Yes, oh. Yes, the classic FIFA game. So our friends over at EA Sports have given us a copy of FIFA 17 for the PS4 to give away on the next show. And I've got a sneaky copy and I'm going to be doing a little feature just looking at it from an AFC Bournemouth fan perspective. So basically, I'm going to do what I pretty much do all the time. I'm going to sit in my undies playing FIFA for hours, except this time I'm going to be recording it and bringing you a feature. So that's coming up on the next show, as well as we've got Ted McDougall interview, which is going to be the show after that. And then there's even more gaming prizes to come up probably end of October, November, but I'm not even going to tell you about that yet.
Hi, this is Gary Chapman, the bloke who stands in the back of the North Stand shouting, "Up the Cherries!" You're listening to Back of the Net.
So some exciting times ahead for the podcast. Hopefully some exciting times ahead for AFC Bournemouth as well. We're going to be entertaining Hull on the 15th. We've got the small matter of the international break, as you've probably gathered by now. Travelling to Malta on Saturday and then Slovenia at home. Fingers crossed we'll get some wins to raise our spirits. But yeah, Bournemouth are in good form at the moment. Hull, not really so. Now, they started off the season actually pretty well. They beat Leicester 2-1, won 2-0 at Swansea, even held Manchester United until they scored a last-minute goal. But it's been kind of going a bit wrong recently. So they lost to Arsenal at home 4-1. Liverpool put 5 past them. And then at the weekend, they lost 2-0 at home to Chelsea.
Kind of lost their way, I think, as the realities of the quality of the Premier League kicks in. Having said that, they've got Snodgrass, who's been in fantastic form, so definitely a player to watch. From our perspective, I mean, it's difficult to say because we go into this game after a couple of weeks off, but it's a bit unfortunate, really, because you felt like we were just building up some good momentum. And I just hope we can continue that through against this side at Hull that, we'll be honest, on paper you would look at it at the start of the season and go, well, this is where we need to pick up 3 points. And I still think that's the case. I think we need to be looking to win this game, and I think we've certainly got the quality. In terms of the side, I guess the only question mark for me really is around Charlie Daniels and his recent performances, or his performances this season. He hasn't hit the heights of last year. It's difficult to know how much Jordan Ibe has played a part in that when he's been playing on the same side, because there have been occasions where you felt like they haven't really been linking up that well. I noticed in the game against Watford, as we discussed, Ibe was getting back and tracking really well and doubling up with Daniels. But going forward, the co-commentator on BN Sports made a good point. He noticed that whenever Ibe got the ball, Daniel was making like an overlapping run or running into his space, because he's been used to a lot of the times of playing with someone like Mark Pugh, who maybe isn't going to beat a player individually one-on-one all the time. Whereas Ibe, you really want him isolated one-on-one with that fullback. And what the guy was making the point, I can't remember the name of who it was, but a real good point was that, look, Daniel, stay out the way, because if Ibe's one-on-one, you fancy him to beat the defender. And as soon as you bring in Daniels, you bring another defender with you, because then it's two-on-two. So I don't know. Brad Smith, I didn't see the debacle against Preston. Obviously, we saw him in the Valencia game and he had some good strong moments. I think he can't be far away from knocking on that door. But other than that, I can't really see, barring injury, any drastic changes. What about you?
Yeah, I do agree with that. The only other doubt, I suppose, is Harry Arter, but fingers crossed he's going to be okay now. As I said earlier in the review, there's some conspiracy theories there. But in terms of a prediction, Sean, I'm gonna ask you now, what are you thinking?
Hull can concede goals. We are starting to look a lot more of a danger going forward. I know last year I called Goalfest against Watford, and was it 0-0, I think, or something like that?
Yes, it was.
I think it's time. I think I get one a season. This, my friend, will be Goalfest. Bournemouth 4, Hull City 0. Oh, yes!
You said it. Well, that is bold, Sean. So, playing the Hull Tigers, I'm going to be a copycat. Yeah, I did it. I went there. 3-0 for me. I think it's going to be very similar, I imagine, to the Norwich game last season. Newly promoted side, although obviously we both went up together. But I don't know. I feel as though we're starting to come together. The team's beginning to galvanise now. And even if Brad Smith is coming in replace of Charlie Daniels, I just feel as though the midfield at the moment is so strong. Callum Wilson, his runs, as you say, at the weekend were just fantastic. And he was just getting behind those defenders. And I don't know, I think things are coming together. So I'm expecting the good run to continue now. And yeah, I'm going for 3-0.
Hi, I'm Michael Botto, and you're listening to Sean and Sam making some noise for the boys on Back of the Net.
So that almost wraps it up for another show, but stick with us because there's just a few more minutes of awesomeness. And then over the next couple of weeks, plenty of awesomeness. We've got the launch of the retro shirt poll. We've got FIFA 17 for the PS4 to give away on the next week's show. We've got Ted McDougall interviews. We've got Neil and Ted's book to give away. There's another game coming up. Oh, there's so much to listen to over the next few weeks here on Back of the Net.
Yeah, we really hope you're appreciating what we're doing and spread the word. It would really help. We're loving all the retweets and all the Facebook messages that we get. It really does help. Also, what helps as well is if you're able to give us a review on iTunes as well. So if you go onto iTunes and just search the Back of the Net podcast, on there you've got a chance to leave us a review. It's relatively simple to do, but if you do get stuck, check out our Twitter feed. It's twitter.com/AFCB podcast, and we'll pop it on Facebook too. Now, the listenership that we're getting is absolutely incredible. Sean and I started this thinking that one man and his dog would be tuning in, but as I tweeted earlier on, after 24 hours of the last show, we had just under 2,000 downloads. We're now getting about 4,000 downloads an episode, which is absolutely incredible. Sean and I honestly want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. It really does mean a lot.
Yeah, and thanks very much to David Gale in Woking, who has gone on to iTunes and left us a review. 5 stars. Top stuff for anyone who follows AFCB. Keep this up, boys. Thank you, David, and we will try our best. Now, the other way you can help us with the show is to donate. And, you know, with podcasts, it's interesting. I don't know if you listen to a lot of podcasts or maybe just us, but you know, they are free and they are brilliant. I listen to some great podcasts. There's one I listen to every night to go to sleep. And I'm a patron of them, so I actually pay a monthly subscription, which you don't have to, but I do to help them keep it on the air. We aren't asking for anything like that, but if you do get value, we really do ask you, please, if you would consider a smallish donation, which you can do through our website, afcbpodcast.com/donate. Maybe a tenner? Can I ask for that? Or can I hear 20? Can I hear 100? No, I can't hear 100. But anyway, no, whatever you can spare, we would really, really help it. We're getting really good listeners, so it doesn't take much just to help us keep the show going. The other way you can do it is to purchase an Eddie Had a Dream t-shirt, which is our Back of the Net t-shirt, which has been modelled recently by listener Robert Murphy at 3 a.m. when he sent us that photo. Not that photo, the other photo where he was wearing the shirt, Sam. But yeah, you can go onto our, which is afcbpodcast.com/shop, and you can purchase a t-shirt and you can also add a small donation. But that all helps. Sorry, I know it feels like we keep going on about it, but it would really help us. Last thing is, if you know anyone who has a business, contact us, because we've got a sponsorship proposal document we can send you. It talks all about all the thousands of people that listen and advertising options. And yeah, because if we got a sponsor, we can stop talking about their donate. But thank you so much to everyone who has already donated. Amazing. Thank you. Love you all. Love you. Mwah.
Yeah, and if you do want to sponsor, we'll of course be putting your banner on our website. And do have a look around our website. We've even got a video section, so any AFC Bournemouth related stuff, we've got the videos there. Yeah, do check it out. And Sean also uploaded his amazing article that galvanised us fans a couple of weeks ago. And we will be putting all our individual show features actually on the back of the net too. So if you missed the bits about the AFC Bournemouth ladies team or the Cherries Cafe or Sean's Around the World feature, you can just listen to them there as well.
Yep, so it's going to be a couple of weeks now until the next show because of this bloody international break. So Gareth's Barmy Army will be looking to kickstart England's life as a team that really are as low as they can go. But maybe we'll all be feeling a bit better than about that. But then we'll be coming back with proper business. AFC Bournemouth would have played Hull City. Let's hope it's the goal fest I've predicted. And we'll be able to tune in to Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast.
Sean, I know we're confident of the answer, but surely we should tell the listener about the answer to Do You Remember, shouldn't we?
Oh, yes. We've done it again, listener.
Why do we do
it? We've done it again.
Why do we do it?
Ever the professionals. We need to have a note stuck on my computer. Do you remember? So ironic. So, yes, of course, before we go this week, we always like to bring you the answer to Do You Remember? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. So this player, left back, his delivery into the box would be from the right-hand side, in swinging left foot. He'd always aim it in that bottom last third of the goal. So if no one touched it, it went straight in. Otherwise, someone would get a toe. Back of the net. This week's Do You Remember? Go on, Sam.
Jamie Vincent.
Yes, Jamie Vincent. And indeed it was. It was amazing, really, wasn't it, that the transfer window back then went until March. And I remember we were pushing, weren't we, to go up playoffs, and then we sold him. But I remember, I remember this. I don't remember to talk about the answer, but I do remember this. I remember our very own Michael Dunn on his All Departments podcast. He interviewed Trevor Watkins once, and I seem to recall they talked about the Jamie Vincent sale then, and it was basically we didn't have enough money to pay anybody anything, so there was just no choice. We had to sell him, which we did. And look how times have changed. So there you go, folks. We've neatly rounded up everything. There's been no grey areas. There's no splodges on anybody's copybook or any other awful analogies I can try and think of. Let's just get out. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, and maybe we'll be a little bit better. Who knows? This has been Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast. Is that it, Sam?
Don't forget the milk from the supermarket.